kids are still going to school, so and they've got to be there early. But how are you doing?
Yes, well, now that I'm wide awake, I'm just fantastic.
No bitterness there, Lindy. Have you noticed that?
None whatsoever.
He's become a lot more subtle as he matures, yeah. However. but apparently, Howard, word on the street is that you were spotted out and about. And I said yesterday on the show, well, if you're out and about, maybe I can start venturing out as well. How was that for you?
It was a terrifying experience.
Really?
He looked it.
Did he look it?
He looked
at me. We've got an eyewitness. Our head of news actually saw you out. So,
admittedly, I spent time outside. So okay. I'm attempting to venture out and spend time outside. I even wandered to the zoo lake.
Oh, very nice.
No, you're doing good.
Yeah, apparently if you want to avoid crowds, don't go to the Wilds, because that's apparently more crowded than the Rand Easter Show.
Really?
Used to be. I haven't been to the Rand Easter Show.
Did you try going out yesterday?
No. You know what I meant to? No, I meant to yesterday, because especially when I heard that Howard was he seen at Spa? Where did you see him?
At the Armani Spa.
God from
I was at the Spa.
Oh, sorry, you were at the Spa.
I was at the Spa. Right. And
so can I tell you, I wanted to specifically at the zoo, like, see one thing.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw in Tel Aviv, they have this idea where they're putting a screen up.
Yes.
At a lake, and you can go in a rowboat.
Yes.
And watch a movie.
Except they showed the Titanic on a rowboat.
Oh,
That was just so Israel. It was just so stupid. Honestly, of all the things to show. Anyway, yes.
I wanted to go to the zoo lake to see if the rowboats were working.
And?
Well, it's a little desolate.
Right.
The rowboats weren't in action. But I still thought, and while I walked around, I thought, okay, we could make this amazing. We could put in the middle of the lake. We could put
up a big screen.
Everyone could get their rowboat and go row to.
What an awesome idea.
Yeah, I love that.
And then the person I was with said, you honestly think that people won't get mugged if they come here at night? And there went my idea.
You're right. I'm thinking, how do you get from the parking to your rowboat?
and back
to your car.
That was the key thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. But that was such a lovely idea. Definitely would have gone.
In the past, you could have done Bruma Lake. You just need to push the dead bodies aside as you
Howard.
Rode. It's near Bedford View. I mean, that's where all of
where they dump them.
Yeah. Which always amazed me. Like, if you're going to kill them in Bedford View, don't you want to dump them a bit further? Like,
no, but go also to you the do, Boxburg Benoni at some Lake. Point, you do want them to be found.
Is that what it is? Either way. So I still love that idea, Howard.
I think it's such.
And the Zoo Lake actually is perfectly positioned for it.
I think it could be an amazing idea. I even at some point in time thought, like, can't we open up drive-in theaters again? That would be amazing. Mm. We could put them in parking lots in shopping centers, and people could come, because let's face it, no one's going to go sit in a movie.
Certainly I'm not. We were talking about that. Yeah. 50 people, you've, it's social distancing, next to each other, air gets circulated. I don't know. I just don't think it's necessary.
To go sit in the love seat all by yourself, that's not
so sad. Although, interestingly enough, like my one son loves to go to movies alone. He's quite happy. I mean, he doesn't have a problem. Like, he's quite excited about this.
Okay.
I think going to a movie alone is the most devastating thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I can do lunches and whatever alone. Movies, I don't know.
So, you know, when I traveled a lot on business, those heady days back then, I really learned to enjoy eating a meal on my own.
Yeah.
I have to say, I really, and maybe it was out of necessity, but because there's so little time that you actually just sit and think
on your own.
And I didn't mind that. Once in London, I actually went to a show on my own, one of the, West End show. I just finished work and I just thought, you know what, I'm here. Let me go and just do that. But generally I don't go to movies alone.
Yeah, no, movies.
I remember once going to a movie and there was a woman alone sitting next to me and it was a real tearjerker and she was sobbing hysterically so much. I actually leaned over to her and said like, can I give you a tissue? Are you okay? It was, I felt terrible. Someone needed to try help her.
Yeah. What were you guys watching? Was it the movie?
I think she had a very sad life and she just came to the cinema to sob.
Yeah.
To give herself permission to sob. I mean, I'm not David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, but I can tell you. It's like, you know, you go to those weddings, back in the day when you could go to funerals, and you'd go to a funeral of somebody's great grandfather who was 1,000 years old and no one had seen him for 60 years because he was in a home somewhere and he died. And then there's somebody standing next to you who barely knew him and he's sobbing their heart out. You know, that it's not about the guy in the ground.
You sound like my dad.
You know, it's about whatever miserable thing
they're going through exactly. at that moment.
Exactly. So I think the person that was sitting next to Howard in the love seat was experiencing exactly that. What do you think, Howard?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. It's a great place to go. Just don't choose a comedy if you want to go stop.
That's why I wanted to know what kind of movie you were watching, because now it's really obvious.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, speaking about sobbing out loud, Howard, your thoughts on President Cyril Ramaphosa's open letter? I've called it the Oros strategy, where we water something down to the point that it actually has absolutely no taste. That's my article in News 24 today. I'm interested in your thoughts around it.
Look, I think he's trying. I actually genuinely think he believes it. I think he's deeply concerned. I think he genuinely thinks that the ANC is accused number one, and they are. But I think he thinks he's powerless to do anything about it. And if he thinks that it's one or two people that are destroying the image of the party, he has no idea what's happening within his own party.
No, absolutely not. But that's the question, is do you really think that he believes? I mean, his own, was it his spokesperson's spouse?
Kusela, the husband.
The husband of his own spokesperson. I mean, that's how close to home this corruption is.
But you know, when I was saying to you yesterday, I think he's probably realizing the maze that is just trying to get things done in this party, trying to just correct, like there's just no way of getting around it.
What does he actually do? But it's up to actually Shamila Batoy to go do her job. We want to see people in jail. It's that simple. It's impossible that 3 years after the Guptas leave the country, that no one is in jail from the Gupta fiasco.
Yeah.
It's beyond words. And we were talking about it a little bit earlier. The other day they were talking about the number of people prosecuted and arrested over the weekend for lockdown violations.
Like around 840.
And then there was something even earlier today that we were speaking about. And you just
COPTA investigating a hoax.
Yeah, they're investigating the hoax about the rumor about alcohol being rebanned. That's what they're investigating. Go and investigate people that are stealing.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely unbelievable.
But we're much too forgiving as a nation. I was looking yesterday, I don't know if you saw what the Zondo Commission, that in fact Nomvula Mokonyane's PA didn't arrive. She had a subpoena to be there and she didn't show up. When she finally arrived in the afternoon with her lawyers and asked for a postponement instead of being there at 9 a.m. as she was required, she was told by Zondo that this behavior was unacceptable. Now you try not arrive in court at 9 a.m. when you've got a subpoena. You don't get told off, you get thrown in jail. What is wrong with us that we actually aren't willing to take the hard stands that's needed to change our society?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. And, just got a message from Kathy Keller. Good morning. I want to let you know that your Oros article is on the Chai FM website homepage. So go and have a look at it. Certainly go and have a look at it there. You can have a look at it there on News 24. Unfortunately, it is behind a paywall. Howard, have you subscribed to News 24's paywall?
I haven't, and I was wondering if anyone actually had.
So I know Zanatti did.
Yeah, Zanatti
I know Zanatti did.
Shame. She was doing that just for you. You know that.
I didn't even do it for me. They gave it to me free because I'm a columnist there, which is the least they could do because they don't pay me for my columns. So it's, you know, it would have been a bit offensive if I can't read my own column on there and I have to pay to read my own column. That I thought would be unnecessarily offensive, but they did give me a, they have subscribed. I am interested, but I don't think that we will ever really, well, not for a while will we know that information. How many people have subscribed or not? And I also have a feeling maybe it'll just disappear at some point.
Howard, can't we give you the 75 rand a month and read your article?
Hold on. Now we're thinking. now we're thinking. That's not a bad idea. If each person pays me, but at least, you know, at News 24, you do get more than just my article. So
nothing else is really worthwhile reading.
Thank you for saying that. But so Howard, it's just a fascinating one, and you do wonder where it is going in terms of the ANC. Was this a turning point? But I mean, how many turning points can we really have? Do we think that the ANC is really taking responsibility for their own behavior? I wonder. Howard, what is your thoughts in terms of going back to shul? We're about 2.5 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, from the high holidays. What is your thoughts around where are you personally? Because everybody is making, people are making sort of their own decisions about whether they can or can't or will or won't go. Where are you at?
I decided that this Yom Kippur, I'm going to leave it to God to decide if I live or die. And I'm not going to help him by going back to shul and making sure that that the decision is made.
Right. Okay. Well, fair enough.
So no, I'm staying far away from shul. I don't think at this point in time it's safe to do so. And, I think the wise decision is to stay away. Not only that, I've recused myself from CSO duty, to stand outside shul. I think the time will be right when the time is right. And I don't think we're there yet. And I think for our own safety, the wise decision is to stay away from anywhere where there are crowds.
Linda, have you been back to church?
No, I haven't.
Really? Because you really are a churchgoer.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
You love church,
So still streaming.
Yeah, and how is that?
It's okay. Hey, I think I've gotten used to it because we started streaming. So from the first lockdown.
Right.
So that's literally been the reality for 5 months now. So even all the midweek programs that we'd have, like home cells or whatever, or midweek prayers, still streaming. So.
And are people getting used to it? I mean, do people, or is there this pressing need to get back?
I think people are getting used to it. Like, I'll use my mom, my mom wasn't just understanding. So you're saying I must, and this was the funny thing, because when, she didn't want to go to church, she'll be like, okay, stream it for me on the TV. But now government's telling you and the pastor's telling you guys, we're closing the church and you're going to stream and now you want to start complaining. And so she's gotten used to it. I know a lot of people aren't, like, they're not too eager to be back in church. And I know with us at church, it's, that 50 that is allowed is like the leadership of the church. So it's not even church members. It's the leadership of the church, pastors and all of that. And they've just reserved it for that. So we could basically say even it's not open to the public currently. Yeah. So I know a lot of people are, like a lot of people are, especially if their churches are streaming, they're good. They're okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I am helping my shul and hopefully a few other shuls through the Jewish Report with is to do drive-through shofar blowing.
Oh, interesting.
So we're working on a few plans. The one is that on Sunday morning to get shuls to blow the shofar every half an hour and to have a designated area where you'll drive to open the windows of your car, not get out, and listen to the shofar being blown and then drive away and the next group of people will come in and do that every half an hour for Sunday morning.
Right.
And then to do almost like a beauty pageant.
But will the shul, will an Orthodox shul support the drive-through?
On a Sunday.
Oh, it's not the Sunday of Rosh Hashanah.
Thanks
for clarifying that.
People should be listening to the shofar. So
I'm with you.
Sunday driving shofar blowing.
Right.
And then to do the next Sunday, a beauty pageant of shofar blowing, where you stick your shofar blower in a convertible and you have a map of where you're going to be at which time, and we're going to get people to come outside their homes and the car will stop every 50 meters and the shofar blower will blow the shofar. And so I've spoken to Professor Ephraim Kramer, who's okayed both of those concepts. And I've spoken to Marshall, I've spoken to Rabbi Mazinta, and we're trying to put a plan together where we'll have both beauty pageant drive through shofar in a convertible and drive in shofars at your shul. So during the month of Elul, you'll be able to hear it. And Rabbi Mazinta has this amazing scheme that he's working on for Rosh Hashanah, whereby you can order a shofar blower in your garden.
Right.
It's almost like the Uber of shofars.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, if I
someone will come to your home.
Yeah, I mean, I have to organize that. If it continues as is, I'm not going to be going to shul, then I will have to organize somebody to come and blow for me, because or to go somewhere where I can hear it, because I need to do that. It is an obligation. So it is interesting. And again, this year, everything is just different. It's just as simple as that.
I think I might need this plan. I might just be in the neighborhood over.
Yeah, it's well worth seeing. Although one of the suggestions were that you put a mask over the shofar, because the shofar is a bit spitty, you know, and when you've blown 100 notes or so, it gets quite, and of course what it is, it's like this funnel, a friend of mine is a shofar blower, and he tried it. He blows every morning at the shul at the moment, and he tried it, and he said it actually sounded like you were strangling a cat. It just didn't. So he would rather blow it from behind a window or a screen, a perspex screen or something like that it doesn't impact on anybody, but to put something on it wasn't great.
Let's face it, at the best of time, the shofar is not the most finely tuned instrument that anyone has seen. You don't get the Stradivariuses of shofars.
No, I get that. I get that 100%. Howard Thaxtine, always wonderful to speak to you. Sorry we got you up so early, but it was well worth it, at least for us it was.